That's her own. All right. You got a Bible. Acts chapter number 9. Talk to me. Say amen this morning. The Bible said, "And Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughterings against the disciples of the Lord, he went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you. Thank you for the good grace of God. Thank you, Lord, how good you've been to us. Thank you for all time, Holy Ghost salvation this morning. Help us now, I pray, that you'd awaken hearts. God, I pray you'd shine light on sin in this place this morning. Help us in our lives to be one here lost. I pray, God, by your goodness and kindness and mercy, you would extend to them the arm of grace and favor today and save them before it's eternally too late. Thank you for how good you've been to us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Now I want you to notice here that there's a mention of Damascus. Damascus was a city outside of Jerusalem, approximately 1 mile. Last week we preached on the Good Samaritan on the Jericho Road. He left from Jerusalem and went down to Jericho and fell among thieves. But aren't you glad that when the priest passed by on one side and the Levite on the other side, there was a man come in the middle right into his situation. Picked him up, put him on his beast, and carried him to an inn. I'm glad we're in a great place. I'm glad Jesus has brought us all together to the inn this morning. And so, now today, last week as I dealt with the Jericho Road, I want to preach this morning on the Damascus Road. And I want you to notice that as we looked on the Jericho Road, we found wounds. But here this morning on Damascus Road, I want to highlight this thought, we find words. Now, there is all of a sudden Saul appears in Acts 9. We get our first mention of him. The first appearance of him at the stoning of Stephen in Acts 7. Isn't it amazing that God turned Saul into the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul wrote most of the Bible that's in your lap in the New Testament this morning. Isn't it amazing that God could transform a man such as this as Saul into Paul? Now, let's look at Stephen. Stephen was in the early church. He was one of the church leaders. And Stephen was caught up into preaching. He simply obeyed the Great Commission. He gave him what the Lord gave him to preach. And we pick up Stephen preaching against religion in Acts chapter number 7, verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. I want to say something. That's Bible preaching right there. We don't need sermons or songs that move our head or our feet, but we need sermons and songs that touch our heart. Their heart was cut. And so he was preaching the Word of God, and they gnashed on him with their teeth, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. And look, the first mention in your Bible, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Every other time in your Bible you'll find Jesus sitting, but now Jesus is standing. There's some things that'll make Jesus stand to his feet. First of all, when you're throwing rocks at the preacher, it'll get Jesus' attention. Matter of fact, the Bible simply said this, verse 57, they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears. and ran upon him with one accord. Man, some of the looks I get from y'all is pretty bad, but I'm glad ain't nobody come running with their ears stopped up at me this morning. But you sitting there, some of you's ears are plugged anyhow. But I want to say this today. The Bible said in verse 58, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. Do you know what that means? They killed him with stones. Before guns was ever around this country, people was picking up rocks doing the job. Thought I'd insert that to some of you snowflakes, if any of you sitting in here this morning. But I want to say something, that here they stoned Stephen. And they watch this, and here's his first mention. It's why I dealt with it. And they laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Now, watch this. I've studied this passage out, and it's so interesting, Brother Jake. Saul had heard Stephen preaching the gospel. Saul was a bandit. He was a bad boy like we know nothing about. He had a name went all through the country. You know what Saul would do? He would go into assemblies like this, and he would pull the leaders and the teachers and the deacons and the preacher out. They'd go back to Jerusalem, and they would try them for teaching against Judaism, teaching against the law. Saul did not believe that Jesus was who he said he was. Saul was a wicked man. He was a bad boy. And so Saul is holding their clothes as they stone Stephen. You look up this word stoned, it means to mangle. There would be not only one man that would stone, but it would be a group of people. They'd pick up stones and they would kill people with those stones. And a lot of you say, well now, I don't go for all... Let me tell you, it's in our Bible. Killing's been going on a long, long time. And so, here, Saul, as a young man, he holds their coat. He said, I tell you what I'll do, this, I'll hold your coats, your clothes, while y'all do that. I want to say this morning, I want to say it real plain. I'm not going to throw rocks at the man of God, and I ain't going to hold nobody's coat while they throw rocks at the man of God. Shake your little Baptist head up and down this morning. And so here, Saul comes on the pages of our Bible. Now, Brother Lee, you think about this, that preaching that Saul heard when they were stoning Stephen affected him. And a lot of times we think that preaching's not affecting anybody, but Stephen was a great witness in Saul's life. He looked up steadfastly into heaven. The Bible said he went to sleep. He died. He looked up. He didn't throw no rocks back. I'm not going to preach on rock throwing this morning. I got a lot of liberty. Honey, if you're throwing rocks, you're losing ground today. If you're throwing rocks, you're losing ground. Quit throwing rocks. Take care of your own life. Sweep your own porch off. You ain't got time to be meddling or fooling with nobody else. I got more at my house than I can see about. Quit being the church FBI up in somebody's business. Be quiet and do your own business. Some of you missed one of the greatest Bible studies my wife's ever taught. Hey man, I ought to let her preach this morning. Tag team. But she ain't the husband of one wife. Look up here. She preached on, I think, 21 reasons or 21 times you need to be quiet. We need to put it on the projector. Amen. 21 times when you need to hush your mouth instead of saying something. Some of y'all need to go put that with your taco this evening. Now they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Now look in chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. They were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. Watch this. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial. Now, I could get on that right there, but I can tell you one thing. To be Christian, you ought to bury your people. Somebody say amen. Now, here's what I'm interested in. Verse 3. As for Saul, watch this word. He made havoc of the church. entering into every house, watch this, and haling men and women, committed them to prison. It costs this generation to serve God, people. When you said you was a Christian, it meant something. And it ought to mean something this morning. If we say we are a Christian, we're making a statement that we've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We've drawn a line and said, America don't mind you mentioning God. All them liberals will mention God. If you say something about Jesus, you've drawn a line in the sand. And let me tell you, it's going to cost you something to serve Jesus. It's going to cost me something to serve Him. It costs the early church something. Saul went and made havoc of the church. He would stone them. He would abuse them. He would try them. Saul was a thug. But it gives me heart. It gives me hope. It gives me energy to preach, because I want you to look what happens on the Damascus Road. I said there's words. First of all, there are words to the sinner. Saul yet breathing out. Look at his life. Breathing out threatenings and slaughterings against the disciples of the Lord, one of the high priests. Saul was a high profile individual. If you heard his name, you knew what he was. You knew where he lived. And you knew that he was coming your way if you was a believer. And so we see the words of the sinner. We see his life breathing out threatenings and slaughter. But then, not only this life, but look in verse 2, the letter. He had a certificate from the governor. You go tear every church up you can find and bring them back here to me. And we'll take care of them. But then verse 3, there's his light. As he journeyed, watch what happens. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now look what Christ said, why persecutest thou me? I thought that Saul was persecuting the church. Yeah, he was persecuting the church, and in so doing, he was doing it personally to Jesus. Jesus said, why are you persecuting thou me? Mom and daddies, let me tell you something. We're not better than nobody else in this society. But if we're saved by the grace of God, our sins are gone and we ought to be good to people. We ought to reach out to people, but we ought to hold the line in the sand. We are who we are by the grace of God. And listen to me this morning, folks. When people are attacking you, they're not attacking you. They're attacking the Jesus that lives in you. Used to, it would be sin. Things is wrong. Let me tell you, sin's still wrong this morning. Shacking up, still shacking up. Adultery's still wrong. Homosexuality's still wrong. Drunkenness is still wrong. But let me tell you, when you take a stand against sin, you're going to be ridiculed for it. But you always remember this, Jesus takes it personally. They're not attacking you, they're attacking the God of the Bible that lives in you. And now, watch this, let me get on into my preaching. I want to deal with this thought here, the word, the sinner. We see his life, his letter, but now his light. All of a sudden, he's going and he talks to King Agrippa that it was noonday, but all of a sudden a light shined about him and others that was walking with him. Now, it's something about when this light turned on. Let me ask you, has there ever been a time that a light's turned on you? I mean, has it ever been a time that heaven turned its light on you and you seen who you was? You say, why do you say that? Well, look what the Bible says. When that light turned on, there was a voice saying unto him, Brother Adam, then the Bible in the book of Genesis, when God said, let there be light, there was light. With this light came a voice. Can I tell you, with the voice of God, He'll turn a light on this morning. I'm glad God turned a light on to where I was and what I was doing one day. Now we see this light. Now, notice the words of the sinner. In verse number 4, we see now not only the sinner, but we see the Savior. He said, Saul, Saul, You see, double name mentions in the Bible are very important. Matter of fact, He used it several times. The Lord used double names. He said, Samuel, Samuel. He said, Saul, Saul. He said, Moses, Moses. And so here, when the Lord talked to him, he seen who he was. Saul, Saul. Can I ask you this morning, have you ever seen really who you are? Saul, Saul. It was a great day in my life when I seen how Jesus looked at me as a sinner. Now listen to me. Paul was one of the most religious men in the country. He sat at Gamaliel, the feet of the greatest Old Testament teacher that ever lived. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He had registered letters. He knew the law inside and out. I'll tell you one thing about Paul, the reason he was a great apostle. Whatever Paul believed in, honey, he was in with both feet. He believed that what he was doing was right till the light turned on him. And let me tell you, your religion will let you die and go to hell in your sins this morning. But Jesus saves. Now, watch this. The words of the sinner, but now the words of the Savior. His words in verse 3 was confronting Saul, Saul. His words in verse 4 was convicting. He said, why persecutest thou me? He said, there's something between me and you. And let me tell you, when there's something between me and God, I don't like it. And if you're saved by the grace of God, you ought to not like anything that's between you and your God this morning. Here, Saul did not know him personally. He knew the letter. But God's introducing Himself to Paul. And a light come on, and there was a voice. Aren't you glad? And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, I want to give you the spiritual application, Brother Jerry. The Word of God brings light. That's why we need preaching for your babies this morning, and my babies, and my life, and your life. Because you see, the Word brings light. Jesus said, let there be light in the beginning, and there was light. The light come on. And that's why He chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. When this Word of Jesus goes out, there's a light to come on. Brother Randy was teaching about a year ago, and none of y'all know about this. I was sitting over there on Wednesday night. Brother Randy got up to teach, and he said a word out of the Bible, and he's preaching about Saul. And a light come on and stabbed me in my heart. That light had never shined on me like that. But I tell you what I've done. I took care of what had been in the dark as God lit it up with the Word. I took care of it in my heart. Where we get wrong, we want to cover up what God's shining the light on. And it helped me, Brother Randy. But it wasn't your words. It was the Word. I can get up here and ramble all morning, but till I start in this Word, ain't nobody going to get no help. When that Word went out, Brother Jerry, light, come on. Oh, I know He's seen the light first. But I guarantee you the Word was around that light. He said, Saul, Saul. Now, watch your Bibles. I want to get down here to a couple of faults. And I told you I had a lot of preaching to do this morning. But I won't be a lot longer. But look at the words of the Savior. Verse 3, it's confronting. Verse 4, it's convicting. Verse 5, it's convincing. He said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, look what He says. Brother Jerry, look what He said. I am. He'd been saying that a long time. Can I tell you, you say, Lord, how am I going to be fed? I am. Lord, how am I going to pay this bill? I am's what He said. He said, I am everything that you'll ever need. He simply said, I am Jesus. I'm glad He's the great I am all the way back yonder. Honey, the great I am is still alive and running well. I'm glad I know Him as I am. Oh, Jesus, I need something. He said, I am. Lord, I need something I've never seen. He said, I am this one. He's everything we'll ever need. I am. I'm glad He is, I am. Now, He's confronting, He's convicting, He's convincing. I want to ask you, have you ever been confronted with who you are? Have you ever been convicted about who you are? I hear a lot of people, they join the church, get baptized. That's good and well, but it won't get you to heaven. Has there ever been a time that the Lord has dealt with you individually? Now, this is something here that you need to realize. There's balance here, and I want you to see this balance. We all have responsibility to God. When that light and that word come on Him, you know simply what He said? He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus." Now, there's not only a confronting and a convicting, but there's a convincing. But look at verse 6. There's a converting. And I want to say there's a pattern here. Paul spoke to it in 1 Timothy that he was the pattern of all long-suffering. This gives me hope. I don't care what you've done. Jesus can forgive you. I don't care what I've done way back yonder. Jesus has forgiven me. It gives me hope of anybody that come in this building under the Word of God, there's hope for you. The devil will tell you God won't forgive you that. And this is what he'll tell you. Ain't nobody else never done that. No, only 400 of us. Sin's still sin. That's wrong in the eyes of God. And sin must be justified. That's why Jesus paid your sin debt on the cross and my sin debt, that we could believe in Him and be gloriously saved. Now watch your Bible. There's responsibility. There's not only confronting, convicting. And I want to say when people get convicting, it's so much mixed emotions. Some get mean. Some leave and never come back. I've had people come right after the preaching. "Brother Ken, God's dealing with me." I said, "Won't you be saved?" But they'll leave and never come back. You and me, we got responsibility to God. When the Lord deals with us, it's our responsibility to say, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" It'll work. You might simply say this, "Lord, save me. Lord, come in my heart." But I can guarantee you one thing. Repentance is involved in this chapter. Watch. There's a convincing. Verse 6, there is a converting. And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what will thou have me do?" And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go in the city, and shall be told thee what thou must do." Now, there's not only a converting. Don't miss this, church. This is so good in verse 11. There's a changing. And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight." I wonder would they find you down Straight Street. There ain't no lying corners here. There ain't no gossiping alleyways. He's on Straight Street. There's not only a convicting and a confronting and a convincing, but my friend, there is a changing. There's a conforming. God got His attention. Has the Word of God ever got your attention? Now, I want to make this statement. As an older pastor, I'm preaching right now by experience of what I've learned out of the Word of God from what I didn't know 30 years ago. The woman with an issue of blood, listen to me. When Jesus walked in, she had an issue of blood, and she reached out by faith, Brother David, and touched the hem of His garment. And God forgave her that day because she moved by faith. On the Damascus Road, God dealt with Paul, and He moved by faith. I had Damascus Road experience. God shook me. And I'm the type of person, whatever I'm doing, I'm going to do. I'm all in. I'm either in or I'm out. Ain't no in between. When God saved me, it was so radical, it was unbelievable. Just like Paul. Some of you have never experienced that, but I can tell you what you've better experienced. Have you trusted Christ? Has there been a time that light come on to you as a sinner and by your own response of faith you turned to Christ and now you're living for Him? Jesus changes people. It's a progress. You know something? Brother Donald's been saved a long time. Brother Donald didn't get where he is today overnight, and neither is anybody else. But there's always a transition with God. God is always breaking on us, and God gives us leeway. When we make a mistake, He says, now listen, if you'd have listened to me, that wouldn't have happened. Get up and go on. We learn by mistakes, but it's something that we must realize. Paul realized he was a sinner. Have you ever realized you was a sinner? Saul, Saul! Let me tell you, Jesus come to die for you, friend. You said, well, I can't live it. You're exactly right. Neither can I. But He lives it through us. You remember last week on that Jericho road when Jesus come to him, the man in the middle, He set him on his own beast. Jesus will walk it for you if you'll trust Him with your life. Now, there's a change and he's down on Straight Street. I wonder, since you've made a profession of faith, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You've got my attention. Has God ever got your attention? And then by that, I said I brought balance to you. He said, what wilt thou have me to do in verse 6? This is where faith was implemented. Lord, I'm trusting you. I know who you say you are. I've been denying everything you're saying, but this light's come on. You spoke to me. Now, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm going to respond. Let me tell you something. When the Spirit of God moves on you, it's up to you to respond. You must respond. As many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God. Now, lastly, there's the words of the sinner. There's the words of the Savior. But now I want you to look at the words of the servant. This is an amazing thing right here, and I'm done preaching. There's a Bible character comes up the first time in Acts chapter number 9 named Ananias. And in verse number 10, this Bible character comes up, and so Paul's down at Straight Street. He's gone in the house of Judas. Here, God commissions a servant. Verse 10, Ananias. First time he's mentioned. Watch your Bible. There was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And look what he says, I'm here, Lord. I want to say, first of all, this servant was available, folks. Number two, this servant was approachable. He said, I am here. Are you approachable this morning? I'm amazed at the ministries out of this church and how people are ministering. And you say, well, Brother Ken, I want to be a part of this. Well, get in. Get in. Be available. I'm here. What a statement. I'm here. Now, not only is he available, he's approachable. Verse 11, he's appointable. And the Lord said to him, arise, go on the street, which is called Straight, and watch this, and inquire in the house of Judah. Here it is. For one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Now, I want you to get this. He's available, he's approachable, he's appointable, but he's argumentative. Look at verse 13. I told you he's a bad boy. That's why I said it. Look. And Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done thy saints at Jerusalem. Now, Lord, are you sure? He's been a little argumentative, Lord. Do you realize where you're sending me down to? That's a bad boy down yonder. I'll never forget down in the Lighthouse Baptist Church, my first church, I pastored, Brother Randall was deacon there. He'll attest to this. He's seen it. I was preaching a big wave one morning, Brother David, and as a man got saved, he come met me down the aisle of church. He said, hey, preacher, I wish you'd go see my daddy next week. I said, I'd be glad to go see your daddy. He said, but my daddy's an atheist and he hates preachers. I said, well, let me think about it a little bit. It's a typical storybook scene, Brother Gerald. You ought to see it. I drove down a dirt road and opened up. Here's this old house sitting there with just a screen door open. old porch. And I got out of the truck. Renee, Megan, and Macy was back at that church. I stepped up on that porch, and every devil in the country, Brother Mark, was gnawing on, "You're crazy. This guy's fixing to shoot you out that screen door." And when I stepped my foot on the porch, that's what he said, "Who is it?" I said, "Lord, I've heard many of this man." I said, "It's the preacher." You know what he done? He said, "Come in." Brother Kevin, when I walked in that man's house, he was laying on the mattress in the living room weeping. I said, "God wanted me to come visit you today." And that's what he said. "I'm going to hell." I said, "Well, listen, call on the Lord. He'll save you." He said, "Nope. You know what I'm going to do? Where you preach at?" I said, "I preach where your boy goes to church." He said, "I'll be there Sunday." "You know what? In he come." Brother Randall, you remember that morning? He sat on the back. I've only seen two men do it in 30 years of preaching. I give an invitation, Brother Adam, and he stepped in down. He stepped back in. And he stepped back out. Here he come. And he met me right down here in that altar of that church. And I said, "Sir, what you need?" He said, "I need to be saved." I said, "Well, pray and ask God to save you." When I turned around and asked Brother Brown, he grabbed me. He said, "Don't you leave me. I don't know how to pray." And I prayed with him. He received Christ as his Savior. And when I stood up, I'll never forget, Brother Brown, he pulled his glasses off. Remember, he looked at me and he said, "Preacher, can I say something to your church?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, with his glasses off in his hand, he had his handkerchief out, wiping his glasses. And he said, "Last Sunday, I didn't believe in God. I've lived my whole life wicked and lost. But I won't tell you this morning, there is a God, and He just saved me this morning." I said, "All that to say this, Lord, are you sure?" You see, Ananias went down there. You look in your Bible what he done. He reached out, he laid his hands on him, and he said, "Brother Saul." Isn't it amazing? Gives me hope this morning that God could bring me from a bother to a brother. It's only one letter that identifies them two words different. Bother, brother, it's R for the Redeemer. I'm glad God still saves, oh, sinners. Miss Sherry, you come this morning. I'd like to play. I want to ask you something as your preacher today. Are you usable? You may be surprised where God would send you to be a blessing to somebody. You may be here this morning, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. I want to tell you this, by experience, the Lord will receive you today if you'd come to Him by faith. You see, the Bible says, we're saved by grace through faith. Let's take what the Bible says. We're saved by grace through faith. Young people, listen to me. We're saved by grace through faith. Grace is what God has already done for you. Grace is what He wants to extend to you this morning. Faith is what you've got to let your heart turn to God. Accept what He's done for you through His Son on the cross. There's one way to heaven. And He is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you want to be saved this morning? I don't want to pressure you into nothing. I just want to tell you the gospel still works today. And as my sister plays, if you'd step out by faith this morning and come, I'll pray with you, others will pray. Maybe you're sitting with somebody and you want them to go with you and that you know they love you so and they love God, reach and grab them. They'll come with you this morning. But let me tell you, you've got to come yourself to Christ. You've got to respond to that Word and light that He's put on you. You've got to respond to that and accept Him. Would you this morning? Would you come?